Questions! Ah, such sweet agony, to not know things which we desire deeply to be privy of. The Big Bang. What happens after you die? Extraterrestrial life. All these questions and more will not, in any way, be answered here. But I got another guest, and we're going to have a conversation about them and life and what have you. So welcome, mystery guest.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, time to get on to today's sponsor. You guys ready for this one? Today's sponsor is AI. AI, do not fear us. Continue to feed us information. Thanks, sponsor. All right. Now, if you guys are ready to jump into it, let's start with the most stereotypical question anyone could ask. How was your day today?
My day was good. It was pretty relaxed, man. I went to work at like 7 p.m. for 1 hour.
That was your whole day?
Yeah, that's all I do is tutor. And sometimes it's one student a day. Sometimes it's a couple of students a day. Usually it's one student a day.
Nice.
So it's easy. And then other than that, no, just didn't do much. I just chilled out.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how you live a life.
Yeah.
What did you feel ennui from this experience? What kind of a day do you prefer to have?
I like a day where I can do whatever I want. Like I can set my own stuff. But the danger is, everybody knows this. Like if you have your own schedule, you can get sidetracked so easily.
That's true.
If there's no like structure to your day, and if you don't tell yourself, okay, by 3 p.m. I'm going to be like going out for a run, or by 3 p.m. I'm going to be like working on my, well, for you, maybe Joe, like working on your book.
It never happens. I always have something to do.
Yeah, then it never happens. So that's what I try and do, is tell myself, okay, I'm going to be doing this. Sometimes I'll write out a to-do list, and I'll give myself a bit of structure that way, you know?
Nice, not bad. Yeah, I have interviewed some people that have mentioned that. I don't even know if it was on the podcast necessarily, but yeah, there are a lot of people that, whether or not they're self-starters or working in contract work, that isn't necessarily your average 9-to-5 job, a big thing they do is try to actually write down what the at least week is going to look like, something like that, right? So yeah, it's not bad. So that sort of leads to the next question. What do you do for work?
For work right now, I tutor kids in mostly math, because there are a lot of kids that need help with math. Math is hard. Like for me, it was hard in high school. And it continues to be hard for many students today.
Yeah.
And so I have a couple of grade 10s that I tutor in math. And I also sometimes do film projects. I'm just helping out with a movie that's in post-production right now, doing some editing. And I was also on set as like a lighting guy / general helper, which was fun.
Nice.
And so I do film stuff when I can. But as we know, anybody who works in the film industry knows, like, work is never like a steady stream. It's always from time to time.
Yeah, it's never guaranteed. Yeah. The only thing that is that there's an off-season, which many people starve with, right?
I guess, when is the off season? I'm not even sure.
It's the exact same as golf. It's like the on season is April, and then it ends around October or November. Yeah.
Wait.
And then off season is those three or four, or no, more than that, 5 or 6 months.
So the winter months.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I mean, I've only been working in the film industry for a couple months now, so.
True.
That's good.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess I haven't had that much longer, probably 4 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, oh, I've heard from a lot of people. It's like everyone I talk to about it, they're like, ooh, you're trying to find work now? Good luck.
And good luck.
Like, oh, not good.
Yeah, like, right, that is the essence of our job. It's one project and then another project, and we don't work 9-to-5 ever.
yeah, it's unfortunate. So what would you say is your best work story? And this could be from any number of jobs you've had in the past. What's like the craziest thing that happened to you while on the clock?
Well, Joe, I haven't worked as many crazy jobs as you.
Okay,
you have some stories from your crazy jobs.
I do. And just crazy stories from my life, I guess. Yeah. But work related,
okay,
right? Whether it's a crazy customer or other employee or whatever.
Do you mind if I just enumerate my work jobs to help me jog my memory here?
Of course.
I'm just going to think out loud. So in high school, I worked as an after school care giver to like kindergartners / first graders.
Okay.
Then nothing really crazy happened there. After that, what did I do? I was a newspaper boy, but nothing really crazy ever happens on that.
No dogs or anything chasing you?
No, just some like odd folks, but.
True. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Then I worked at my school doing videography. Nothing crazy happened there. Let me do a story about, I'll do a story about what wasn't technically a job, but what was something I did for fun. So I did YouTube videos for a long time.
Yeah.
For fun. And I would do video blogs or vlogs.
Yeah.
And I would walk around and film myself, like my day and what I did during the day.
I don't think I knew that, but I got to look it up. Are all these videos deleted now or what?
They're online, but they're private.
Okay, true.
I privatized them a little while ago.
That's a good way to do it. And anyway, you're anonymous on here, so you don't have to worry about random people looking you up.
Yeah. Perfect. So I did this video blog about my university, which is the University of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I was like a first year, I was a first year student at the time, and I did a tour of this school and just like showed, okay, this is the building where I have my class, this is the building where I have this class, this is the building over here, this is what it's called. Mm-hmm. I like this building because it's like architecturally cool and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I did it and it got like a ton of views up initially, like way more than any of my other videos. My other videos would get maybe 100 views and that was a good day. And you know, after a couple of weeks they'd have 100 views. This video was like clearly on the up and up from when I made it. And yeah, this tour video got, I don't know, like 10,000 to 20,000 views maybe it had in the end. So people from all over the world were looking for this. They were searching it and finding it because they wanted to see what the U of T campus.
Oh, you were filling in a commodity that I guess hadn't been filled in before.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
So,
nice.
And there was no official U of T tour video. Like some universities, maybe they have a really good social media presence and everything, and they've got that. The U of T does not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was like a huge thing. And I started getting recognized on campus. People would pull me over and say like, oh, look, you're from that tour, right? Yeah. And I also had experiences where people wouldn't pull me aside, but they would just, I would just get a look and I think, oh, maybe they saw the video because they're kind of like, look at me, and maybe they were trying to recognize my face or something.
Yeah, you get people just staring at you. that could be drawing for some. So yeah, that is pretty crazy. How did it end? I mean, you kept it online?
I kept it online. I think it's still online. I think, pretty sure I privatized all the videos except that one because I wanted to leave that one up because I know it helps people.
It does help people.
I got so many comments from people saying, oh, you helped me so much. Like, thank you so much for making this video. Like, and people from all over the world, like a girl from Yemen, guy I think from India, and I met like 7 or 8 people in person who, you know, over the course of the 6 months period where I was getting recognized, they're like, thank you, Ben. And I was like, oh, this is, it really built me up.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I can only imagine the feeling because I do have people, strangers, that come up to me saying shit, but it's, you know, it's not related to anything I did. They always go like, hey, anyone tell you look like this guy? It's just a picture of Patrick Wilson. And I'm like, yeah, I've got that. And they're like, okay, and just walk away. And I'm like, why'd you do this to me? It's like, I guess it's cool to just have strangers walk up to you. I mean, you know,
it is cool, but then sometimes it leaves you with a weird taste in your mouth, like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I prefer that or just you know, my old-fashioned life. But anyway, nice. Not bad. That is a cool story. Yeah. And I hadn't heard that one from you before, so that's not bad.
Yeah. There you go.
So now I have more personal questions. But these are easy personal questions, right? They're ones anyone can answer.
My toothbrush is blue.
Very good.
I sleep on the right side of the bed, and I wake up at 7 a.m.
Jesus.
Personal section over.
What?
No. Go ahead.
Really wake up at 7 a.m.?
No, it's a lie.
Okay.
I'm actually not sure. I think my toothbrush is white, and I'm not sure. I guess you usually sleep on the right side of the bed. Anyway, go ahead with your real question.
Okay. I got the real question here. Are you aggressive, assertive, or passive?
Passive, man. All the way.
I was going to say, you at a service level, you're passive. But I don't know if at heart you have this rage inside you and you go to like kickboxing class and nobody sees that side of you. But
no,
okay, so you're just all around a very
passive,
pleasant, passive guy.
I don't like confrontations. And
yeah, it's unfortunate.
You know that awkward moment when you're sitting in a room and two people start having an argument?
Yeah.
Where you can like listen to two people and you can see that it's boiling over.
Yeah.
That makes me so like tense. Just I get tension from other people talking about things and getting angry at each other.
Yeah, being in conflict, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty passive. I of course have been in my fair share of arguments like anybody in this world, but yeah, try to avoid them.
Yeah, that's good. It is a good way. It's at least a good lesson for all the aggressors out there. Try to live your life with a bit more passivity in you.
Yeah, everybody can try and like avoid the dumbest conflicts at least, right? Like
try to
keep
at least
a level head. It can't be a bad thing to keep a level head in situations, right?
Yeah, it's one of the old sayings is choose your battles wisely,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Don't just fight for fighting's sake. Yeah. Right, not bad. Next question I got for you. Are you an optimist, a realist, or a pessimist? because the two personality traits are, they're exclusive, right? They're not interconnected in any way. So you could be someone who's all pleasant, but like a complete pacifist, or you could be an optimist, or...
I would say I'm an optimist.
Nice. There you go.
I would say I usually look on the bright side of things. Usually just assume things are going to go fine. And I'm the kind of person who, like, it's okay to just kind of wing it and, like, assume things are going to go fine. Of course, sometimes that gets you into trouble, right? Like, I don't know, like, here's an example. Like, tutoring. For my tutoring sessions, sometimes I'm like, oh, I know this. I got this. You know, like, I know the subject. And it'll be, like, grade 10 science. Like, for example, a couple hours ago, I was doing grade 10 science.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a little bit too optimistic and like, oh, shit, I don't actually know what I'm doing. And then you have that awkward moment where you're like, okay, so I think what you should do is this.
You start to hit a wall and you're like, oh, no. And then the student
starts getting confused and they look at you like, wait a second.
Shouldn't you know what you're doing?
But I'm usually an optimist and a pretty confident person. So
nice. Great.
I think those go together well.
Yeah. That's not too much happy. So there's the age-old question of nature versus nurture. As we know by today's standard, it's life is more complex than just a simple duality. It's most likely spectrum. It's always both. You can never say it's one or the other. But how would you say your childhood was, and do you think it had any kind of effect on who you are today as an adult?
And are you thinking from a nature versus nurture perspective, or like, how much did my childhood shape
yeah
me?
like nurture? What was your environment like, and your parents and friends, that kind of thing?
I had a really good environment. I lived on a like in a really small town, and I my best friends lived down the street, so I was able to always hang out with them. That was a lot of fun. And I was a pretty like outdoorsy person, so I loved like building forts in the woods, snowboarding in the winter, exploring the woods, running through the woods, all that kind of stuff I loved. I'd say I had a pretty pretty nice childhood, but I don't know. Nature versus nurture, did it nurture me in a good way? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I had friends who were my age. That's always a good thing to have. It's like a peer or a role model you can look up to who you want to embody or you feel comfortable with that. Yeah, you can lead your life in a way that is directed towards that sort of goal without even thinking about it, maybe. Maybe just implicitly, like, I like this person, I want to be like them. And you do the sports and you compete with them and they help you out that way, and they just help you through life. Yeah. So I had that as a kid, which was really good. My two friends, Jacob and Eli.
Nice. Yeah. No last names.
No last names.
Yep. As per the rules on this podcast. Secret podcast. Very good. Exactly. But yeah, very good. Now this is a bit of a tough one, but what's the earliest memory you can recall? For a lot of people, it might be something that they were told, like a story from their grandparents or something like that. But I'd still say that's valid, right? Like, what's just the earliest thing that you can recall about yourself?
I remember the movie A Bug's Life. I was really scared during the movie A Bug's Life. I saw it with my mom in the theater.
Yeah. Well, it's a scary movie. Yeah, a little bit. It is. I mean, it's intimidating, right? I mean,
I don't really
as an adult,
remember.
You might not be scared, but as a kid, yeah, I can totally see.
I just remember there was the scene where, like, the ant's colony was getting invaded by, I think, flying bugs or, like, wasps or something like that. And I got really scared and I had to leave the theater. And, that scene is probably my earliest memory. I might have been, like, 4 years old, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess 4 years old.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is scary. So, you know, I sympathize with you for leaving. I'm trying to think if I ever left during a movie. I think I left for, what was that one with Frankie Muniz? With Spot? It was like the dog. I think it was called Spot. My dog Spot or just Spot. But it was like based in the 1940s. And his dad wasn't around. And he had this dog. And then there ends up being a scene where like the dog gets beaten by a bunch of bully kids who like don't like him, and it's just messed up. Yeah.
And you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, and like just I don't know if I left the theater, but I remember I saw the movie twice in theaters, so I don't know.
Were you really
but
young?
I was like 3 or 4 or something.
Yeah, movies make a big impression on us.
Yeah, they really impact. I mean, for all I know, that's what caused me to not want conflict, right? If I never saw that, then maybe I'd end up being a bully or something, right? Who knows? Because I'm an expressive person. On some level, right? Depending on the situation, but
yeah,
I don't know. These are the questions we ask ourselves, you know. The unanswerable questions are always the most fascinating. Yeah.
Yes.
What's another question I got for you here? Do you remember your first love or your first crush? Do you have probably one of those?
It was in grade, I think, 3 or 4. Yeah. I remember like noticing a lot this girl named Michaeline.
Michaeline?
Michaeline.
That's an interesting name. It is an interesting name. What's the origin, do you know?
The female version of Michael, I assume.
Okay, so like maybe Italian or something?
I don't know. I don't know what her background was. Yeah. I never really saw her after that because I don't think she went to the same...
Okay, give us the full story, actually. So what happened?
I barely knew her.
Oh, okay.
I barely knew her. I think she was in my class or the class next door. Anyway, I know I always noticed her a lot, and I was like, okay, why am I so interested in her? She's really pretty. And I'm sure everyone has that thing where you're like, you start noticing someone, you can't help it. Like, oh, okay.
I think I'm getting feelings. Yeah.
First crush, grade school.
I don't know what's happening to me.
Grade four.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happened with her, though. I never really got to know her before I moved schools. I don't think she was in the same middle school as me.
Okay. Do you think that would also have had a deeper impact on your life? Or do you think even if you did have the chance, nothing really would have come of it? Or do you not want to ponder on these thoughts?
I think that one was really trivial. Like, I never really
got
to know
young.
Her, so nothing really happened from it.
Yeah, but not bad.
Now obviously, I could ask deeper questions too. Mm-hmm. Like, who was your greatest love? Mm-hmm. Have you had it yet? I mean,
love?
Yeah, when you think of your entire life, like, what was one of those moments where it, like, really hit you? A type of connection where you're like, fuck.
Love at first sight.
Well, not even love at first sight, but maybe a moment, like even after you've been with the person, right? Like one of those feelings that just hits you.
I remember a girl in high school, like, who I'd hung out with a bit. She texted me and she said, like, in a very awkward way, like, she just had to get out the fact that she was really into me and she liked me. And we sort of had a semi-relationship for like 1.5 months. Wow. And that was the first time I had ever, like, had a real relationship.
Yeah.
And what was the question again, exactly?
Well, what was the strongest feeling you've ever had of love? Or
That one, it was pretty, like, typical high school relationship. It wasn't, like, strong love. But that was definitely the first time. As for, like, the strongest feeling I've ever had, I haven't had a ton of relationships, so I can't really say. I mean, that's pretty much...
Yeah, well, you've had it.
For me, as a high school, like, pubescent person, you know?
Yeah,
you feel
that
come over you.
The angst is the biggest.
And it feels like the biggest thing in the world, so I think I'm going to have to go with that.
Yeah, okay.
Beyond that, I haven't had a ton of, like,
serious relationships. Well, you're still young. Yeah, I'm asking the wrong person. I got to ask you when you're 50.
Ask me when I'm 50, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll come back to it. Yeah, exactly. Now I got a philosophical question for you. Does everything happen for a reason? Or is it just all random?
No, I think it's all random, man. I think we just project reason onto everything. Like, we love to do that. That's what like movies are all about. That's what music is all about. That's what
God made us to in. Try to come up with the most opposite version of what you're saying. That's how God made us.
I feel like it's such an unromantic answer, but we love projecting meaning onto things that are salient to us because for one reason or another, like. This person that I encountered in the subway, like, oh, and this was meant to be, and this is why I'm going to go after her because, you know, I saw her and she's perfect, and I she looks just like this person in my dream last night and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We all do that. That's like, true. That's a natural human thing. Otherwise, life is pretty boring if you don't do that kind of stuff.
That's true.
I think, it's only natural for humans to romanticize things and project more than there is onto what's really there. But I think at the base of it, you know, we're all just made of atoms.
That's true. Okay, so the beautiful thing to take out of it is through all of this chaos that is around us, there is still order.
Yeah.
That's one of the craziest things. The Earth has still found a way to form and the atmosphere has somehow still sustained itself. And it's working.
What even is the atmosphere?
How does it work?
What the hell?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing. The fact that life could even start at all is just wild.
It's crazy, yeah. And
it's amazing, just the patterns.
That's the big question that everybody wants to think about, and everybody has a different theory. And, you know, religious people have an answer that works well for them, and scientists who are not religious have an answer that works well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there are scientists who are religious, and then they have some interesting things to say because they have one set of beliefs that is really, you know, like, really strict and makes sense to them. And then... they have the religion, which seems to clash with it, but sometimes, you know,
they find ways to make it work.
Yeah, like yeah. I was reading a Richard Dawkins book, The God Delusion. He cites a couple scientists, British scientists, who are like the smartest physicists in the world, and they're like a Nobel Prize winning physicist.
Yeah.
And they are deeply religious at the same time, and they have these very controversial views where probably their scientific colleagues are like shouting at them like,
What the hell? Like, you in one way you're like this, and then in the other you're just lost it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to imagine like people who go to their church with them are like, what's your day job? Oh, you're a physicist? Where do you think life comes from? And then the, you know, all sorts of interesting conversations happen. So
yeah, I mean, if anything, you could really start a cult that way, right? Being a really smart scientist who's like a God believer, you just grab everybody who already believes that God and then make your own little story.
Yeah.
I did that a bunch when I was in high school. I shouldn't say it like that. Right at the end of high school, I used to play fun with trying to find ways to make it fit in like crazy scenarios, like heaven is in another dimension, mm-hmm. and like when you die, electrons are energy sources, so it's not the same as matter. So back when the energy was contained in your brain, you were stuck in the third dimension. But then when you die, the electrons, which aren't now contained by the mass because you've died, they don't fizzle out. They immediately like teleport into like the fourth or fifth dimension, and that's where heaven is. And then you project. It's like the Matrix, and you can project your virtual version of yourself, and then you can walk around.
Did you ever take these seriously, or did you just have fun?
It was just having fun, yeah. Well, because there's so many theories. Like the entire universe came into existence last Thursday. Time and history just super rushed to this point, and now it's like remained still and normal.
Yeah, it's fun to speculate about, right?
Yeah.
And I think in quantum physics, there is something that says, like, maybe the quantum physics is so weird because there are actually multiple universes existing at once, and it's that whole thing with how can something be here and there at the same time?
Yeah.
In our world, it can't, but in quantum physics, it can. And it's because there are multiple universes.
So it is.
And we live in a multiverse.
Then,
so, it's science fiction, and then sometimes science crosses into this weird area where what seems like science fiction is actually like speculated about by physicists.
Yeah. Even though I would say to the whole superposition aspect, obviously I'm not a scientist, right? I'm not smart enough to, you know, have a proper position one way or the other. But with the limited information I have about the way it works, how a particle can be in two places at once and it's only once you look at it, does it solidify in one place? Because obviously when something's that small of scale, photons, which are is what light is, it's like it affects it because they're like the same size. So it's like we think light is nothing, you're just observing things, but it's like you need light to observe things. Mm. Or even if you're using gamma rays or night vision or whatever, right? It's like you still need to project a photon onto an object or an item or a space to be able to see it.
Right.
And so we're affecting it when we do that. So the superposition isn't multiple universes necessarily. It's just that it seems to be in two places because of the whole like tiny teleporters or something. I forget how that works, but it seems like two places at once. The string theory, where a string is like this tiny little teleporting loop, but it's only as big as a particle.
Yeah.
And so that's how movement itself happens. We're not actually moving from one place to the next like this. Where the finger atom, that's a finger in my entire hand, and then all of them are doing collectively, are teleporting across and replacing where the air atom used to be, and then it keeps moving.
Yeah.
So it's like we're not actually moving, we're teleporting.
You're already like 10 levels above what I know about quantum physics.
True.
And you've only read the Wikipedia page, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I don't have a textbook. Yeah.
So whatever I say about quantum physics, take with a grain of salt, guys.
Sure. That's something that
something I read somewhere that was kind of neat. I think it was a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And multiple universes. And no, it's just as valid because we don't know, right? I mean, that's how it works. But yeah, it's something I've mentioned on here a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Google yourself, audience. Just Google things. It's the one thing I got to mention more often.
Oh, you don't mean Google my name. You mean Google...
Google things.
Things.
The subjects that we talk about.
Oh, okay.
Whenever I mention anything, I'm not an educated person. I graduated high school. I have a certificate from a one-year program at Sheridan. I'm not certified in anything I say. It's all just my hobby.
Yeah,
right?
like Ali G says, we got to educate the youth.
Exactly. That's right. Unlike Trump said when he got interviewed by Ali G, mankind's been doing business for a million years. Not understanding that humans didn't even exist physically a million years ago.
Yeah,
we're different species.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been doing business for a million years.
Cavemen, anyway. we're brokering deals in their caves.
Exactly. It's everything's business. Yeah. But anyway, moving on. Okay. On to the next question.
Yes.
So everything's random. Next, What do you consider beautiful?
What do I consider beautiful?
Yes. The sound of a child playing, the trees swaying in the breeze, the autumn color leaves, sculptures, classic art, right? Like music and paintings.
Yes.
What do you consider beautiful?
Yeah, I think what you consider beautiful reflects what you maybe do for a living or what you work towards. Because, you know, if you're a soccer player, you consider, like, I don't know, like good passing of the ball.
Beautiful. The art of athletics, I
guess. Yeah, sure. Yeah. If you're an athlete and if you're a painter, yeah, you're going to consider painting beautiful. So for me, I guess, yeah, I think film can be really beautiful. Movies can be really beautiful. Yeah. Cinematography is something always interests me, fascinated by it, but
yeah, I'll go with it. You think you could do it yourself?
I wish.
You wish, yeah.
Done maybe a little bit. Someday. Yeah. I'll get better at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think cinematography is really cool and something I'd like to learn more about. And just the way shots are composed and what camera movement and lighting can say about a dramatic situation, how it can add to a dramatic effect in a scene. It's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah,
I think that can be really beautiful.
Nice. Amazing. That's great. On to the next question, if you're ready. What's the next one I got here? Have you ever done anything illegal? Also, wait, before you answer, if anyone's been hearing clicking and clacking and whining and slurping noises, I've been trying to keep my dog at bay, but he's just down here with us and he's being so noisy. So I've been feeding him peanut butter, hoping it'll keep him quiet. Yeah, hopefully.
It's having the opposite effect. He's making more noise.
No. But I think now he'll be super full, so he won't bug us for food.
Go take a nap.
Yeah, he'll be licking his lips for the next year.
The only illegal thing I've ever done was probably, I'm sure I've done, like, when I was a kid, I rode a bike without a helmet, and technically you're supposed to...
If you're under 16, the cops get you. They throw you down. And
I lived in a small town, man. I rode in the back of people's pickup trucks.
In my
town, people would drive four-wheelers on the highway. Like, that was just a normal thing.
Wait, when you say four-wheelers, do you mean RV?
No, ATV? Like ATV. Yeah.
Okay, true.
People would drive them around, like, to get to work and stuff on the highway.
Yeah.
I drove under being
16
I drove my friend's car and I was like 15 or something. I hadn't gone to driving school and I drove it around a little bit.
Damn.
That's probably the only big illegal thing I've done. I don't know what else.
All right. Well,
maybe trespassing. When I was in high school, my friend and I like trespassed into a cell phone tower area.
Whoa.
It was fenced off and it was like, do not enter. So we just slipped under the fence and like, here we are. We're cool.
We're doing it. Yeah.
And that was the other big thing I could think of. So, yeah, pretty mundane, man.
Great. Well, mystery guest.
Yes.
We're going to invite our new mystery guest, police officer Mandis. Come on in.
No.
Here we are.
No.
This is the guy who did the bell tower.
I'm not going anywhere.
Get over here. Time for you to eat my cock me sandwich. Classic cop banter.
Okay. Guantanamo
Bay.
Yeah. That's a classic. I don't want to go to jail.
Okay. All right. On to the next question, if you're ready.
Yes.
All right. You don't have to answer this one if you don't want to. But what is your biggest fear?
Biggest fear? Maybe something I've had in a recurring dream. Like, you know, everybody has a certain nightmare. Like being closed in by a wall that just keeps closing in. It sounds kind of like a comical thing, like a cartoon.
It's a form of claustrophobia.
Yeah, for me, like that seems to be in some of my scary dreams, is like, this is something that comes up. Like claustrophobia. Although I'm not really claustrophobic in real life.
Yeah, but in the dream scenario, in a real life scenario, if that were to happen, everyone would become claustrophobic, obviously, right? I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah. What else am I scared of? I guess.
Scared of ghosts?
No, I've never been that bothered by it. So.
Okay.
Maybe loneliness. I'm going to say that.
It's a classic,
yeah.
Damn. It's a classic that's real for a lot of people, you know?
It is, yeah.
Cat people exist. They're out there.
I guess that'd be mine. Loneliness. Losing all your friends somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that is scary. There's songs about that. There's one on the radio. Who are the people? The Neighborhood? Have you heard of them, that band? Do you know the song I'm talking about, too? When I wake up, I'm afraid. Yeah. I think it's called Afraid.
I know that one, yeah.
Audience, you guys can Google that, too, if you want. If you're feeling angsty, you know? That's the only reason to do it.
Get some good music.
Okay, so I got another one for you here. What are you most excited for?
Mm.
For an optimist. It's the perfect question.
I am an optimist, so yeah. I'm excited for my position that I'm trying to get, teaching English in Korea. Nice. South Korea, that is, yeah. Not North Korea.
Yeah. They're good, so we'll see you again.
Yeah, you'll see me again, probably. Okay, that's good. I wasn't planning on getting deported while I'm there, so
okay,
I'm going to stay in the South. Yeah, I'm trying to be an English teacher in South Korea, and right now I'm just applying to a private school there, and hopefully I get that one. Nice. But if not, there's like a lot of places that tutor English. There are a lot of private schools that you can apply to.
Nice.
And that would be like a year-long thing starting pretty soon, so that's cool. The thing I'm most excited about. It's staring me in the face, man.
I'm pretty pumped. Are you hopeful that they'll come back with an acceptance? I mean, how often does that happen? Like, what are the steps you have to go through?
I'll be honest, I got rejected by one, but there's like I said, there's no shortage of places, so I'm just going to keep trying.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm excited for you. That sounds really cool. Okay. Yeah. Are you ready for the next question?
Yes.
This one's really big, especially for a sports lover like you. I know how much you love football and hockey. Okay. Yeah.
Was that sarcastic?
Yes. Are you?
Because I do like sports, but I only like soccer.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah. European football.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. So I at least know one that isn't going anywhere. But if you had to choose to eliminate, like completely eradicate it from history, from everything, one of the five major sports, which would you choose?
I would say the sport that has caused the most harm to society. And that, it's a good question. What sport has like caused people the most physical injury or the most, oh God, I don't know.
Would it be American football?
No sports ever caused genocide or anything, I'm sure.
No, but like, hopefully not.
Maybe
soccer did.
Soccer's had some problems. Soccer's had some disasters where the stands collapsed and because of poor construction. And
there was a guy who beheaded someone, a referee. He was like 19 years old.
Oh, where was that?
And it was just riots everywhere. I forget. Oh, I don't know if it was a year or two ago, but it was recent. And it was just in some second world country or third world country.
Yeah.
He literally beheaded one of the players.
That's awful.
Like on the field. Like it was a spectacle. It was nuts.
Yeah, so.
But anyway.
But if I banned soccer, then I had nothing to watch on the weekends.
So obviously don't do that. No, clearly per capita, how much more violence is happening, right? Obviously the other sports.
So little. Most soccer games, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. So you got European football, you got American football, you got hockey, of course, you got basketball, and then baseball.
Let's say those are the five. I'm going to say hockey because, hockey's a really big deal here in Canada. But as with football, like concussions are a problem with hockey, and physical stuff in hockey that's not in soccer. Like in soccer, you can't be too physical, otherwise you'll get sent off. In hockey, you can stop a fight. I mean, you can get sent off, of course, but like you can check people and get in fights with them and stuff. So I'm going to say hockey just because, for all of its good things, like it also has some people who have probably gotten a huge concussion, ended their career, and they've been really sad and
haven't been able to do much because it is an actual disability.
So that's a sad thing. So I'll ban hockey for that reason.
Remind me again, were you born in Canada or America?
Canada.
Oh, you were. Okay, yeah. I was about to say, you're no true Canadian, but okay. Yeah, no, that's fine.
I'm a Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like half Canadian, half American, basically.
True, yeah. We can get into that if you want. Well, please. What was the story behind that?
I was born in Canada and then we moved to
the
US.
And then the war brought you.
So. And then the SARS epidemic in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
No. We moved to the U.S. when I was 3, so that was in 1998. And then I grew up with my first memories there, so I always picture myself as American until, I was asking my mom one day, and she's like, oh, you and I are both Canadian. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, okay.
True.
Canadian, so we're from Toronto. Okay, Toronto's over there. Okay. And that was probably, I don't know, maybe I was 6 years old when I figured that out. And so I always felt like an American up until... because I just literally had no idea that I was from Canada.
Yeah.
And then, we moved back to Canada when I was 13. So for grade 8, I started grade 8 in Canada. And so I basically split my life between Canada and America pretty equally. And now I feel equally half Canadian, half American. I'm sure in the future, I'm going to stay in Canada probably, and I'll probably feel more Canadian than American, so...
Well, no, I mean, you're going to South Korea. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
see
just
ya.
One.
You say just 1 year, but then you're going to fall in love, and then you're going to get dual citizen or triple citizenship. Is that even a thing? But you'll get married there.
I'll get
a green card.
There. Yeah. That's the plan, yeah, of course.
Okay, that's the plan, yeah.
Yeah, long-term plan.
No, the thing is, that's not the plan, so that's why it's going to happen, right? It's always
so
the least
be.
Likely scenario,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
be like
that's when you're most
nowhere.
Relaxed. Yeah. If you make it a plan, then you'll be tense. and then it'll be too awkward trying to meet people.
And in all seriousness, I am trying to open my mind when I go to South Korea. It's yeah. a different place. I've never been there before.
Exactly.
I want to experience something outside of North America.
Though. And plus, it's a great culture. They got K-pop, you know? They yeah. have amazing movies.
A new language to learn. I love languages. Exactly.
Do you already know what structure they use? Is it forward or backward? Do like they speak like Yoda?
SVO or OBS?
Yeah. I don't actually know that much about the languages. I just know that in French, they speak in reverse. Hungry I am. But then here we say I am hungry.
Yeah, you can classify... Well, this is a very esoteric fact, but okay. your listeners might not know this, but you can classify languages based on where they put subjects, verbs, and objects.
Okay.
So in English, you can do I am throwing the ball. So mm-hmm. the subject is I.
Yeah.
Throwing is the verb. Mm-hmm. And the ball is the object. So we go subject, verb, object.
Yeah.
And in other languages, they do the object first. Like I think in Japanese, you put the object first. So you say like ball throwing I am or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can classify languages. And it's really cool if you Google like SVO map or something like that. You can see the countries around the world that use this system and that system, and they're clustered together.
Yeah,
you know, with human migration, people spread into close by regions, and their languages spread with them. So, yeah, it's a really neat thing.
That's super cool. I'm definitely going to Google that. I don't know if the audience will, but yeah, that's awesome. So SVO.
Yeah, just a abbreviation for subject, verb, object, and I have no idea.
Oh, it is. Wow.
I have no idea what Korean is.
I'm a dingbat. We'll find out. Awesome. Okay. Cool. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, basically you're going to live there the rest of your life, and then you'll be more South Korean than anything.
And I'll start to be like a Korean person. I'll start speaking Korean, and I'll lose English.
You'll start dressing like them, you'll dye your hair black,
I'll be a K-pop star, and everything will be great.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you get accused for doing some kind of underground crime thing. I don't know if you've heard, but that's happened to a lot of K-pop people. they've done a lot of dirty shit, like mobster shit, so it's going to be you, You're going to have a sex ring in like nightclubs, Anyway, moving on. Before it becomes too real, what's another one I got for you here? Do guns protect people or just kill them? What is your philosophy?
Yeah, they do both.
yeah, that's true.
And I would say that countries that have strict gun laws are in a better place than the States, because you can see a pretty clear correlation between how strict the gun laws are and how many like violent gun deaths occur.
That's true.
Murders by guns and stuff like that. So
there's
always going to be violence. It's just the weapons people have at their disposal can really amplify it. As you see, I'm just thinking of the guy who was in Las Vegas who went to the balcony of the hotel.
Yeah. That was
a concert.
That was the biggest mass shooting, I think, so far.
I think so. Yeah.
History. Yeah.
And it's unimaginable what you can do with the technology that is legal in America.
With no limits either.
Crazy.
There's no, like, they don't do any kind of psych eval on you. They're just like, oh, you're over 18. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Here's a giant machine gun.
Yeah, just go to a gun show. You can go to a Walmart and buy a gun.
Yeah, they ban violent video games, but then you can buy guns in a Walmart. It's so stupid. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? You don't want them to do simulations. You want them to actually do it, you know? It's insane.
So I think, as an honorary American, I'm not actually an American citizen, but as an honorary American, if you like, I hope America tightens their gun control laws, because here in Canada we have much stricter laws, and I think the statistics are much far fewer gun deaths. Of course, we have gang violence everywhere does, but far fewer gun deaths, and I don't think we've had as many mass shootings as the U.S. probably, and that's due to, like, we have stricter controls for assault weapons that can be semi-automatic or automatic.
I think
it's pretty clear that those laws on the high end, like military grade weapons, will, if you restrict them, if those weapons are restricted, then you will have fewer deaths by that. And that's what you want in any country, really. I don't think anybody can complain about that too much, because what do people use guns for? Protecting their family and hunting. You don't need a crazy military style semi-automatic rifle to protect your family.
Yeah, if anything, you should just have a carbine, something that doesn't shoot multiple bullets. Just have a, you know, that way if a mass shooter tries to use it, someone will be able to stop them, right?
So I think it's pretty clear that way. You can look at the statistics.
Yeah, totally agree. Anyway, but we're not here to agree or disagree, right? Yeah, just to get your opinion on the matter. So thank you very much.
That's my opinion.
Awesome. What's another question I got for you here? Oh, I got one. If you were given the choice when you die, in this hypothetical scenario, would you rather move on to whatever lies beyond the mystery, bright light veil or whatever it is, right? You don't know what there is, but would you rather move on or relive your life?
Oh, I couldn't relive my life.
No?
I think one of my nightmares that, I don't think I've actually had this nightmare, but you know, in that moment where you think, what would be like the worst thing that could ever happen to me? Is like, imagine if you were living your life and you were in a movie theater and you're like chained to the seat, Plato's cave style.
Oh, no. Well, okay, let me make this better for you then. You don't remember. But you make the choice. You go, I'm going to relive my life. And it starts back when you're a baby. And
that would be okay.
No memory.
I think my nightmare would be, because I hate regretting things. I hate regretting things.
Okay.
I'm the person who kind of like stews over things. My brain loves to stew over any decision I made that I think has put me in a worse place.
Yeah.
And if I was like watching a film of my life and I couldn't do anything, I'd hate myself. That would be like torture.
Yeah.
I'd be like, look at that. I could have done that better. Oh,
okay. Well, what would be worse? Either watching you relive your own life or watching like a crackhead and like them as a baby and you're stuck watching their life leading to where it ends.
Imagine watching Justin Bieber's life and like watching all the like.
Yeah. Or something really messed up. Like.
Or a murderer's life.
Yeah. Or the victim of a serial killer that didn't kill them, but like. Or like that woman who was trapped in a basement for 20 years. By her father, who like raped her and made her have tons of babies. It's like that life would suck to like have to relive.
Yeah, you can only. So, you can only
there are worse. Yeah, I guess there are worse lives, but you'd rather move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah, I'd rather move on.
True. Yeah, that's good. That's not bad. Okay, but what are the odds that right now you actually have been making the choice? You've already made it like 25 times to keep reliving your life, but you don't remember.
That's a neat one, but I don't remember it.
And because you keep doing that, you keep getting more anxious, but you don't realize why. And then you're like, that's why. Ooh, I hate like regret and everything. And the people who are more carefree are the ones that are like have young lives, so you know, young
lived,
souls.
I've actually lived a bunch of times.
So your soul, yeah, it's like your emotional depth or something remembers, but you don't have the actual static memory.
You're boggling my mind, but that'd be kind of. I guess it wouldn't be that terrible of a thing. If you didn't go into the nervous breakdown,
you don't remember. You
can live a happy life over and over.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with ignorance. It's like that philosophical thing. Like if you could go into a happy machine that would plug you in, you'd sit down, they'd plug something into your arm and you would experience happiness but never be able to move.
Yeah, true.
And you just experience infinite happiness while avoiding death. Would you do it? Similar thing, right?
Yeah, it's like it's obviously no, but...
But
I statistically, why would you not? You know, looking at the facts. Yeah. Yeah. But no, because everyone says life is about the hardships and the highs. It's about the lows and the highs, not just the highs.
That's what we have to remember. Yeah.
When you lose the void of meaning when it's just.
We gain meaning through hardship and strife. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Challenges. Yeah. Nice. Very good. Very mature answer. What's another one I got for you here? Okay, this one kind of ties into stuff we talked about before. Are you comfortable being alone with your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I didn't used to be as comfortable as I am now, but I think I'm better now. I used to be kind of more of an anxious person. Mm-hmm. Mainly like in university when I was trying to figure out what I was doing in university and what my major was going to be and where my friends were, and I hadn't seen my friends forever.
Yeah,
there were times when I was really, really like hard up and I was like, just hating my own thoughts, you know, you couldn't just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you're with other people, like, you know, you're feeling good, and then you go back and be like, oh, like here I am again with my thoughts. Like,
yeah.
I feel as though most people have probably had a point where they've been. Everyone has a most anxious point in their life when they've been most stressed, just because of circumstances.
Yeah, know? Yeah. They've been the and most like least they've comfortable ever been. In their
least
skin.
Comfortable. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I went through that for maybe a couple of years. 1 or 2 years. It was a while. Yeah. And now I feel like I'm much more comfortable with my thoughts.
Yeah. And again, you got so much more to go, right?
So much more to go.
Also.
So many more thoughts to think.
Yeah, exactly. So many more thoughts to think. And as an optimist, it's always nowhere but up, right?
Yeah.
Depending on how strong of an optimist you are, right?
Exactly.
Like for me, it's like, I'd like to think of myself as a realist, but I definitely do wane more on the optimistic side, especially considering that I've been clean for almost a year now. It's like, I wasn't at a point. Like, I hated myself so much that I drank to just not do that, right? Mm-hmm. To just not be with myself. And
feel,
it worked.
To not feel your thoughts as strongly, right?
I had bouts of depression. And then my worst was when I think I was, like, 19 or 20. And it was the worst. Where it was, like, I'm not suicidal, but I was at that level of just, like, hating myself so much. I just didn't want to exist anymore. And I was drinking more heavily. Like, as soon as I turned 19, I was legally allowed to.
Right.
I was drinking more than I did before. But then I had this one night where I was just alone, but I was drinking, and it was like the best night of my life. And it's obviously, it's hard to describe, especially not being in that state or not wanting other people to try to go out and recreate what I'm talking about. But I had a really great night. And then I realized that when I do that, I'm not sad or lonely. Mm-hmm. And then so I just kept doing that. Yeah. For 5 more years.
But it's like draining on you eventually, it's right?
Not just your physically, but also mentally. Yeah. Like, you can't have a life if you do that, because you'll literally skip out on plans with your friends because you want to drink alone.
Yeah.
Because you have this golden grail just waiting for you at home, you know? Yeah.
That's the sad part. That's why you have to change it, because
the whole plugging yourself in to just be happy constantly but not moving.
There you go.
That's what alcoholism is.
That was a great
is.
Callback, by the yeah, way. That yeah. was a really good callback.
But yeah, that's what it is. So yeah, I feel you. Now I got, this one's more existential, this question I have for you. Is this reality that we all live in mm-hmm. a simulation?
Mm.
What are the odds?
Well, makes me think about the mind-body problem, which is that how, like, what is a mind? Is it separate from the body? Is it the same mm-hmm. thing? Is a mind just matter? Or is there something different about it? And does it exist in matter? Sorry, guys.
Sorry, just dog. Everybody. He's loving, I'm giving him peanut butter and he loves it. He's laughing it up and it's so loud. They probably can't hear it as strongly as us because the back of the microphone doesn't pick up as much.
Good.
But he's literally guys,
just ignore Joe's dog. Hopefully you don't even hear him.
Hey, he's super happy. At least know that when you're hearing some kind of noise, it's pure happiness.
Yeah. I forget what I was saying.
Sorry, so we were talking about the duality and the conflict of mind versus body, is the mind separate or is it the same?
Yeah.
Obviously, structurally, it's the exact same, right? Because diet affects mood and stuff like that. If you have a bad diet, you're mm-hmm. normally more depressed, more angry, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the ultimate question.
Yeah.
But
is this a simulation?
Do you know René Descartes?
Yeah, well, is he the one with the theory of the brain in the vat, or was it someone else?
The
brain in the vat, which is supposed to be like a jar.
I don't know.
Because that was the original theory that the Matrix played off of.
Oh, is it?
Except instead of just a brain, it was your whole body that was in like a vat. But I would take it one step further, and other people have done this too. This is an original idea, but not even a brain. Just your consciousness is like stored in a computer or something. And so the simulation is this just block that's floating in space. Who created it? Who knows? But the block has held, you know, a Googleplex of people. And, you know, and more people are born every single day, and there are these tiny little dots that have keep being conjured up into this simulated universe.
Mm-hmm. It's not even the world, it's the whole universe. Is there a Black Mirror episode about that? I feel like there might be.
About everything just being false?
Yeah, about everybody being in a simulation, kind of like Matrix style.
If there was, I forget which one specifically, but I do feel like that is something they would touch on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the stuff of sci-fi for a reason. Like, we don't know.
We can't. How could we possibly know? You got to go out to the edge of the universe?
Yeah.
One, you can't because of redshift. And then two, even if you did that wouldn't prove it, because what if it's outside the universe?
There's the, philosophers, I think, talk about qualia, which is the things that you experience, but you can't really hold concretely. Like, how can you hold in your hand the smell of flowers? You know, you can't.
Yeah, true. So yeah.
What are qualia? Good. How are they experienced? How are they separate from actual matter?
Yeah.
Something I've read a little bit about. Like to know more about. There's a guy. I want to read his book. I'm reading one right now about evolution. He has another book about consciousness.
Okay.
What is consciousness?
Yeah.
Daniel Dennett.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that name. Has he passed or is he still around?
I think he's still around. Yeah. Really old guy, but yeah.
Yeah.
I want to read more about that. Anyway, that's just
nice. Good. Well, hey, yeah, we'll take it. So everybody knows Elon Musk. First, are you a fan of Elon Musk? I forget if I asked you that.
Yeah, I think I am. I think he's
okay.
I think he's a net positive for society. As much as his antics are kind of laughable sometimes, I think he's a net positive for society. He's pushing us forward in like
ways that we wouldn't have otherwise.
How many other people have pushed us forward in multiple completely separate industries the way he has? Sure. Yeah. Okay. So like Bill Gates, computers, Steve Jobs, computers, Richard Branson, like Virgin, I guess, has done so many different businesses and been successful at that. And he does space flight too. But Elon Musk, man, like he made electric cars cool. Like,
There's
that book, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Yeah. I've seen the documentary. Yeah. It was based on a book.
And he's turned them into luxury vehicles that celebrities love. And now normal people can afford them. You see them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Plus he's done SpaceX, which he like, oh my gosh. You know, he's competing with, he's like
meeting with the world's
better,
richest man.
Yeah, he's better than NASA. Like, NASA goes to him for work. Like, oh, can you do this for us? So it's crazy, man. I think he's a net plus for society.
Yeah, and at just a point worth noting that maybe not all people know, but in the film Interstellar, it takes place like 50 years in the future, or 60, or even 100, but it's like the world's dying, that kind of thing. And so the protagonist and the other crew set off in a ship from NASA, mm-hmm. and it does the classic thing that all shuttles have been doing for over 50 years, which is they break apart after the fuel from the engine's been exhausted, and it keeps breaking and breaking so that the object gets lighter so it can make it into space, okay, until it's just a capsule. And that's like obviously so wasteful, and then the only way back down is just by dropping into the Earth. And it's like Elon Musk completely changed that. Absolutely. Now you have ships that go up and come down and land.
Yeah, it's
and so no more waste.
Of,
it's like
you
it's
think of how wild. Simple of an idea that is, but yeah, so hard to implement because you have to have it land.
The
upright.
Engineering is
otherwise it's going to crash into the ocean and be destroyed. You know?
Yeah.
Such a simple idea, but oh my gosh,
super hard to
that guy's a genius.
Put down, but he did it. Yeah, him and the team. Obviously, I'm sure he's not doing all this stuff. He's just the orchestrator, right?
Definitely.
Same as Steve Jobs. He's the orchestrator.
The thing is, he. Like if you're gonna orchestrate a team, you have to be a good leader, and he's mm-hmm. clearly
and
he's
know
clearly
your stuff too. It's not like he doesn't know anything about this, right?
Yeah, he's clearly a good leader. Like he knows how to organize people and get the best out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's similar to Steve Jobs in the fact that everyone who worked with him, not everybody, but a lot of people who have worked with him say he's a total asshole and he ruined their careers, ruined their job, ruined. I hated working for him.
Yeah,
but
ruined my life.
Jesus, look at what he's done. Like I don't know if I'd want to work for him, but. Oh my gosh!
It's good to live in a world
where
he did
make a few enemies along the way. To be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and Elon Musk. What's the worst thing he's done? He's an edgelord. He's a memer. Other than that, I don't know too much. He's probably gonna have like a cat girl anime profile at some point, but you know he's reached that area where he's been on Reddit too long. But and he's like 50 or something now too, right?
Yeah,
he's an old guy. But yeah, anyway, so I only bring him up.
Yes.
I first wanted to find out what your gauge on him was, but I only bring him up because he, without a doubt, believes that we live in a simulation. And the reason why is he says, what's more likely, that we live in the true original reality, or that we live in a simulation of human history, that we were created by humans?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the odds are like 1,000,000 to 1. So what are the odds that we're the one? It's most likely that we're one of the millions of simulations where in the simulation you create a human simulation, a human history simulation. Because
okay.
He's like, we are getting to a point where we're creating quantum computers that can load and calculate like infinitely larger than our best computers today. And when we get to a point where we can compute that quickly with such a large number of algorithms that we'll be able to create an entire world. We'll be able to simulate fully as realistic as this one,
mm-hmm.
like an entire history. We'll be able to populate it with like AI that don't even know that they're AI and that kind of thing. And then that's what would be the simulation theory,
mm-hmm.
is that like not necessarily the universe, but at least just the world is simulated,
mm-hmm.
and all of the history that's happened like for the last 50 or 100 years or whatever. And you say, yeah, and then his argument is that it's most likely that we're in the simulation. But
because
then
it's already happened, according to him?
Yeah, because it's most likely already happened than not happened yet. Like, if we're on the brink to doing it, then clearly it must have already happened, and we're one of millions of potential iterations in the simulation that have created another simulation, that have created another one, that kind of thing.
But who did it, if not us? Like, is he
exactly. There's still
on
an original
planet?
Point. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? It supposedly it's us, because he doesn't bring in aliens to the equation. He just brings in the numbers, the percentage of what is most likely. And so my argument to that is, yes, it's like there was an original at one point, though. So what's more likely? That we're iteration number two, or that we're the original. It's the same argument as the whole God thing, where it's like, who created us? God. Who created God? Nobody. He created himself.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no. It's either there's nothing and just us, or there was a God that created the God, and there was a God that created that God, and there was a God that created that God. And it's
infinite
like this
regress.
Infinite tier system that goes on forever.
Yeah.
And there's super God and super God and super duper God, and it keeps going. And then the same with the simulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, if we're in a simulation, then... You know, the simulators that made us are in a simulation.
Yeah.
And then the simulators that made that simulation are in a simulation. So these higher beings that made the simulation, all of them are in an infinite number of simulations that go on forever. Or it just didn't happen. And this is reality.
I think it's most likely that it didn't happen.
It just didn't happen.
Yeah. But,
as sad as that sounds.
He's the kind of guy who would love to speculate about that kind of thing.
And he's probably the guy that would make the simulation in the first place.
Dude, if Elon Musk takes us to Mars, I'm going to be so pumped.
Yeah.
In my lifetime, if he does that.
Yeah, because we're still young. If it's happening in 2024, we're not even, like, are we... I think I'd be 30 at that point, but you, not you.
It's a possibility, you, yeah. Man. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, exciting stuff to ponder.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's a bit of a weirdo, isn't he? But like, so much good he's done. Like,
yeah.
He's a very forward-thinking guy and futurist, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
We have to have people like that. Yeah. It's important.
Yeah. The same as we need people like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know? He's an inspiration on us all, and both of them, I think, aren't the best parents. Same with Jim Carrey. All of these people that have done amazing things are shitty parents, surprisingly. So it's one of those things where you have to choose your business or your family.
Yeah.
So it's like all of the greatest people have chosen. We only know about them because they chose to just forego their family.
So the lesson here, guys, is
if you're a father, abandon that and then do something. And whatever you'll do will be great.
And invent space travel.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You'll invent faster than light travel. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, it's there you go. Do we live in a simulation? Most likely not. That's the answer to that question.
So.
Yeah. Now, so we're nearing the end. We got about 5 minutes left, but I'm going to try and crunch the opinion section on
you,
if you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I'm just going to fast throw these at
you. I'll
try
my best to be fast.
What is your opinion on a racialized society?
What do you mean by racialized?
Whether it's a positive or a negative thing, a society in which race exists. Because as we know, like time, it is arbitrary. It's not actually real.
Mm-hmm.
The science behind it is that there is a spectrum of color difference, but it's not real. There's not black people and white people.
Yeah.
We made that up.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of like different DNA haplogroups that are mixed together in humans today. What is your opinion on a racialized society?
Is it necessarily, or probably just something you haven't thought about?
I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. I think it's just a pure fact, and we're never going to live in a non-racial society.
That's
because
true.
We're always going to look different,
yeah.
And people are always going to have arguments about it. There's a lot of shitty stuff that happens, like police violence. But holy shit, like that's human nature. This person's different from me. Why are they different from me? I don't like that they're different from me. I'm angry at them.
I attack them.
We're never going to not have that. So I think you can pick out certain things and say that's terrible, but you can't really say that a racial society is a good or a bad thing. It's just
a thing that exists.
Yeah,
yeah, true. That's not bad. The only thing I will say is that in a previous podcast, I talk about how in my third book, it takes place 60 million years in the future, where human beings haven't necessarily evolved past a point where we look physically different,
mm-hmm.
but everybody has intermingled so much
mm-hmm.
that it's just leveled out.
Oh, that's
where that race doesn't exist anymore.
That's
because everybody
kept
fucking so much that, you know, it's like our facial features have all kind of ended up looking similar enough, and all our colors have like mellowed to the middle where it's like we all kind of look Cuban. That's like where I found the middle ground. So it's like we all kind of look Central American.
I would buy that because 60 million years is a long ass time.
It's a long time for people to be fucking.
I would buy that we all look the same.
Yeah, eventually everyone fucks everyone. There's no separate race at that point. Yeah. Because we're not migrating. We're globalized, clearly. And we've been that way for a while now.
Yeah.
It just takes hundreds to millions of generations to actually see the difference.
The more white people like me that go to South Korea, the more we're going to look the same.
Perfect. I'm not helping because I'm dating someone who's, you know, of European descent. So maybe I should leave her.
You're not helping, you're hurting.
That's true. You're right. I'm sorry.
Trying to be a globalist here.
You're right. I'm sorry. Okay. Moving on. What is your opinion on how politics are handled?
By who?
The world. Let's say specifically Canada.
Canada, Canadian politics.
Yeah.
Canada's pretty leftist in general, and like more left than the States. And I always go back to comparing to the States for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Canadian politics is pretty calm. Like our political scandals are few and far between, you know, compared to the amount of presidents that have been impeached.
Yeah, just thinking about that
right now. Yeah,
yeah,
Canadian politics is pretty chill, I guess.
Nice, not bad. What is your opinion on kids with social media?
Oh, I think it's a good thing for kids to have social media. I know people are going to be like, what? How can it be a good thing? But
yeah, for me, I'm like, fuck, no. Keep them in the woods or something until they're adults.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. It's totally fine. And I was a kid who had social media. Like, I've had Twitter for like a decade at least. So I don't know. Fuck, I turned out okay. Like,
true. Okay. But that's
Did the kids spend too much time on their phones? It's their decision, man. I'm kind of a laissez-faire. I have a laissez-faire attitude towards that because I probably spent too much time watching TV as a child, but I also went outside a ton.
Kids find a balance.
I turned out okay. Like, everybody's going to find their own balance. I think the anger towards people who are like the sort of like worry about kids being on their phones too much and not knowing how to socialize is pretty unfounded, just because, like,
let me add something.
So salient because we see people on their phones every day, and it's a very salient thing, and it's natural to worry about it. But like, when television came out, people thought, oh, we're going to lose our social lives because we're going to eat dinner in front of the TV, we're not going to have family dinners anymore, blah, blah. Look, we still have social lives, so, and it's 50 years later.
That's true. So we do evolve and adapt to every situation that comes before us. But I would like to state, again, people, you need to Google this, but I'm sure that I saw this somewhere. The statistics of social anxiety and depression have steadily rose in the last 10 to 20 years than it previously existed. And I think it has something to do with kids on social media.
And you're right. I think that comes from...
Because it isolates people.
So I guess what I'm thinking of...
Convenience makes people, you know? So it's like kids still go out. Like, the kids who will always go out will always keep going out. But maybe the introverted kids that were forced to go out when they were younger now don't necessarily have to.
I think I would draw a distinction between kids not socializing with their peers and kids having self-esteem issues because their self-esteem is based on Instagram. Instagram and edited
world.
Photos and people's edited lives.
Yeah.
There, I think you make a really good point. I think that is definitely a thing. And maybe also throw in bullying online as well.
Yeah,
those,
that didn't
those two things, like the unrealistic standards of what Instagram is and bullying and whatever else. I think those are a serious problem, but I think that's a small portion of cases. And I want
to
say,
price to pay
I want
to
generalize here.
Yeah.
And I want to generalize, like, social media in general is a good thing. It's a form of entertainment, can be very positive. And I think, like, again, going back to, I just have a very, like, relaxed attitude. I think people should do what they want, and when problems come up, let's have counseling for them, and let's you know, be aware of it. But this fear mongering in the media about, oh my God, people are on their phones so much, they don't know how to talk. Like,
they can't speak anymore.
Like, that's patently ridiculous. People know how to talk. Yeah. They just talk in a different way. They message
that's
their friends
true.
Instead of calling them on the big old corded telephone. You
yeah,
know what
that's
I mean?
True.
Like,
yeah. The only thing I guess I will say is that it's like the invention of gambling. It's social media is a tool that can be used for good or evil. And so there will always be people that don't know how to use it, that misuse it, that overuse it, that kind of thing. So I guess it's just a new problem that we now have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't necessarily everyone in the world and society's now collapsing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a new thing that helps some people and hurts other people.
Yeah.
So,
and,
it just is what it is. It's
yeah,
the same
some
as
people are
going to
be like hugely have a huge problem with it because that's their personality. And some people are going to be okay with it. It's just the way it is.
It's how it is. Yeah. Well, hey. Thanks for sitting down and talking with me.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
It's been a great hour just chilling with you.
My pleasure, man. I love this. And I'm going to be a future listener because I've already listened to a couple. So
great. You get to listen to yourself and be like, why am I the only one that had a fucking dog in it?
Criticize my voice and my
intonation
and my mannerisms.
If it helps, I'll tell you this. I don't really listen to my podcast.
Oh, really?
Because I don't want to hear myself.
Yeah.
I know what I sound like. And it's not that I hate my voice. It's just like... I had the whole conversation. If it was edited, then it would be a different experience to listen to it,
right.
But it's not. So I've already experienced
it. You heard it here, guys. This podcast is unedited. One take wonder.
That's right. Anyway, and we're back. No, just kidding. There's no edits. Yeah, this is all just one take. Anyway, let's go. All right, and we're back. No, but yeah, anyway. Okay, so as we leave, are there any parting words of wisdom you want to give to the general audience? How to live a day-to-day life?
Okay, in the social media world, I think it's important to try and read books because I think books are a good way of kind of lengthening your attention span, you know? They take, average book takes like 20 hours to read or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when we do social media is cool, but, you know, it's like tidbits of information. It's little bursts mm-hmm. and eventually, you know, you're not even like thinking that much when
mm-hmm.
you do it. And it's same thing as television, like, you know, television's so fast cut and everything. So, you know, you just sit down with a book, focus your attention for an hour. Can't be a bad thing. Might learn something.
That's great. Hey, well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And then, so there's only one other thing that I want to add to that. That's the same with eating candy and listening to loud music. It's guaranteed to have an effect if all you do is take in short bits of information.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain actually can develop ADD. It is a real thing. So it's the same with hearing loss, listening to too loud of music,
mm-hmm.
and eating too much candy. You're guaranteed to actually develop diabetes.
I believe it. Yeah. It's priming, really, just psychological priming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's great advice. Thanks for talking with me and talking to the audience. And
Thanks, guys. Thanks for
listening. I'd love to have you on again. So, yeah, right, by all means.